Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie. Our topic is today is about crop circles, and our guest is Carielle Quinley. Carielle has a master's degree in psychology. She is a board-certified hypnotherapist, and she's author of the Crop Circle Cards. Welcome, Carielle.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
So, Carielle, tell me why you would have the credentials to talk about crop circles.
Well, I began researching back in the early 90s about these incredible circular patterns that began in the mid-70s in England, although there have been reported ones much earlier in the 1600s. So it goes way, way back. But this cycle, it seems like many of us have been drawn into it for spiritual and evolutionary reasons. My journey has taken me to witness approximately 100 formations over the years. And I've been leading groups every summer to see them. I hail from California, and I go all the way over to see them every year. And I've been watching the evolution process as the circles have become more complex. And obviously, they're no longer just circles. But that is the reason they are called crop circles to begin with. So my take on the whole thing is to take their message, and it feels to me, quite honestly, like there are a number of highly evolved intelligences involved, not just one race of ETs, so to speak, but a number of them.
Okay, let's back up a little. What is your website?
It's called Heartlink Institute.
So it's www.heartlinkinstitute.com?
.com,
because you have a crop circle there at the bottom, and I think it's great. Did you just update this?
Yeah, I keep an updated website. In fact, you can see all the latest crop circles from this last 2007.
Well, the neatest part, that's great. Is it on the home page, or you have to click on the side?
You have to look on the menu on the left side.
What is it under?
It says
third.
Crop circles,
the third one. Because the one on the home page, if you scroll down, I love it because it's generated by straight lines. And, of course, as an architect, you can generate curves from straight lines. An example is such as this image of a crop circle here, and even like what we would call a hyperbolic paraboloid, which is really like a saddle shape, can be generated. Actually, anything curve can be generated from straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a really neat example, and I'm going to go look at your other
webpage
while you were talking. But I wanted to go back a little because this crop circle, when I first learned about it, I was totally stunned. And let me tell you a little about even my personal experiences of people's reactions. And now my daughter is 6 years old. And when I told her about it, now she's six, and she said, these are the questions she asked. Is it real? Why is it here? And what does it do? And she even asked that. So that's why I asked you during this interview, because this is a common question not amongst only adults, but it seems like it's also amongst anybody who's not an adult. And my daughter kind of confirmed that, and she doesn't, I don't think she is, I mean, at the age of six, you're not really being already adultified, per se. So I thought, well, she's asked that, so it must be something very human to ask. So
yeah,
that's why I asked those questions.
You need to ask those questions.
And then, you know what? Yeah. I wrote it down after she asked those questions, and it was in that order.
Mm-hmm.
Is it real? Why is it here? What does it do? And so that's why I ask those questions. So anyway, going back,
we've all asked those questions. No question about it. We
actually, you know what? You can ask that question for anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you ask that for anything? Why is the tree there?
And certainly
is
there
it real?
Are obviously different reasons for different people. I think, quite honestly, I'm a metaphysician. So my take on the crop circles might be different from a scientist's view of the crop circles, although I think many of us have kind of come to center on that.
But what I'm saying is that for everything you can ask, is it real? What does real mean?
I think that's
You know, what does real mean?
Who's real are we talking about?
Yeah, what real are we talking about? And I had the show where we were talking about schools and how the Montessori method is to mimic real life. And I thought, well, what is real life? You know, what is real? Is real when you're asleep and you're dreaming and you're having some kind of dream? Or is it during the day? Or is it really, you know, what is aspect of reality are you talking about? And, of course, why is it here? Isn't that why we can ask about even our own lives? Why are we here? And what are we doing? You know, or does it matter if we're doing anything or not? So these are eternal questions that not just relate to crop circles, but it really relates to our lives. And that is, and that's only 1 minute into what I told her about crop circles. I think it goes full circle. We're talking about entire life by just mentioning those questions in 1 minute.
And there are no absolutes, is what I've come to understand at this point, because it's constantly changing. I mean,
and you know what I wanted to tell you, because I went to a feng shui conference, it was at the Conscious Design Conference, and I thought, well, there's going to be a lot of people that are into green design, feng shui, and I spoke with someone it was an organization, let's just say, related to feng shui, and he said something to the likes of, oh, it was something where he said something like, oh, yeah, we saw how people created the hoax, how the hoaxers created the crop circles. And so the seems like, even when I talk to some of my friends about it, is that even people in the law of attraction group, people, mm-hmm. some of them or many of them don't find these things plausible.
Well, because there's been such a propaganda against them, that program that has definitely been from the very get-go from our establishment to shut down any inquiring about this phenomena, because, you know, what if people really do connect to this information? It's
you
powerful
know what?
Information.
I really think that there is a reason about it. If you think about it from a very logical standpoint, and humans, it makes sense, actually, if you really think about it, it makes sense that these things would not come out in the forefront, because it's a matter of national security. What are your
thoughts? I like that phrase. I mean, that's used for almost anything that, again, would empower people to, if they really found out. And again, establishment doesn't want you to become these powerful beings that we really are.
In other words, what I'm saying is that there has to be a huge amount of Pax Romana. It has to be a huge amount of peace before this would ever be mainstream.
Well, we'd have
because
to rise to the frequency of the crop circles, actually, in order to appreciate them and to be able to handle that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and what I'm saying is also that the people who stand to lose are people that are involved in national security. And
that's my whole point is you know, they're the power establishment that really... again, keeping us in control through, and again, not giving us the information about the fact that we have a galactic family just waiting and paused on the threshold of meeting us and welcoming us into the universe. I mean, we really have been quarantined as a planet until we do get to the level of consciousness where we can greet and meet on a peaceful level.
So Someone told me that a lot of these galactic families are very similar to the movie Men in Black. Have you seen that movie?
I love that movie.
The Will
Smith
movie? What are your thoughts about that? I know I'm so
diverging from the
questions I'm supposed to ask you.
I think that's a great question. You know, I suppose anything goes at this point, but I think that really was a Hollywood version of kind of some of the clown caricatures of what these beings could be. I do believe that most of what we're dealing with is more humanoid than we really realize. In fact, to the point where we may meet them on a regular basis and not even know it. So I think that what's the truth? I mean, again, your reality is what you make it.
And then another person said it also has to do with the Matrix and how it's a really that. I mean, because there are definitely movies coming out from Hollywood that are able to tell the story.
I would more, as a therapist, and you've just hit a chord, that movie is probably one of the most profound movies in the last years for us to really learn from, because the metaphors in that movie are so incredible. And speaking to the soul's journey and the awareness of something much bigger and again, higher frequency and to unplug from the third dimensional lower densities and to be able to let go of that and live and survive through it. You know, many of us, as we've gone through the initial stages of enlightenment, have said, boy, this really sucks, you know, because it's so hard initially to let go. We're addicted to the third dimensional material way of life, and it's not easy to really enter into a multidimensional way of being.
Mm-hmm. So going back to, you said that you witnessed about 100 formations. How many of them were real, quote unquote? Did you go into any hokey?
Yeah, you do over the years certainly pick up the difference between the authentic and the hoaxed. And again, when I say authentic, those are the ones that are made not by the man. Although, like I say, many of these extraterrestrials are humanoid beings. But there truly is a I often feel a buzz when I walk into a crop circle or a high. And it's like entering a vortex of higher frequency is the best way to describe it. And I've heard sounds. Clicking noises is probably one of the most frequently reported sound. That's somewhat like an irritated cricket would sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I often feel very uplifted, but some have reported not feeling so good. I think those people that I've heard that from were not meditators or were not really capable of the initial shock to the system. And if you've been meditating for some time and adjusting to higher frequencies, then you wouldn't have any problem.
You know what's neat is when I saw the different crop circles that were coming out, and I thought to myself, gee, the only thing I could think of that was similar to what I know as in my three-dimensional being is the only thing I could think of was Picasso. I thought, well, Picasso had his blue period, and then he had his other periods of artwork, and I thought, oh, gee, they come in sets.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's exactly.
Do you find that it corresponds in any? In other words, there are all these versions of a theme together, and the one I couldn't figure out is the ones that look like keys.
Look like what?
They look like keys.
Keys.
Keyholes.
Yeah. Keyholes.
The other ones are understandable, but the other ones, the keys. I thought it was like another type of message that was going on.
Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what you mean. I know that in the early times we had these key shapes that literally looked like keys.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, and they were like the dumbbell with the circles connected by a bar.
Yeah.
Than with offshooting bars, and
okay.
Certainly they were placed in strategic positions, pointing to certain landmarks.
Okay. So we're here with Carrie-Ell Quinley, and we're talking about crop circles. I am Emmy Lee. We'll be back, and we'll talk about the key formations of crop circles. We'll be back. Welcome back. We are here with Carrie-Ell Quinley, and we're talking about crop circles. Carrie-Ell Quinley has witnessed about 100 formations throughout the years, and we're talking to her about, right now, the keys. There are key-like formations, and
yeah.
I can't figure it out. So tell me about that more.
Well, it's interesting. That one in my crop circle cards, by the way, I created an oracle using 64 of these wonderful designs. And I call that one the respond card in my deck. And it's shaped like a key. It was formed back in 1991 at East Kennett. And many of them form near Silbury Hill. And this one was real close to Silbury Hill, which is a wonderful earthen mound. It's probably the earliest man-made pyramid found in Europe. And so when you see it, it has a profound energy. And many of the sacred sites, when you go to England in the southwestern part that I'm talking about, are just profound, and people just immediately recognize and resonate with them, because perhaps from past lives or just a sense of, okay, this has meaning. And this key was literally pointing to that hill, and it means the shining ones. Silbury means shining ones. So, and that energy around the shining ones are, you know, they're legends, so to speak, over the years that I've learned. And they are just these wonderful beings, pre-Celtic times, actually. And these were beings that could do almost anything. They were magical. And literally, you know, there's legends where they can shapeshift and so forth. But they brought the information of high frequencies of music and mathematics and to the indigenous people at that time. So at any rate, I think that was a definite key to information. And over the years, I've learned about these sacred sites because these crop circles are obviously trying to get us to pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm. So what is the latest interpretation of the keys? You think it's a symbolic meaning of key to...
Well, I think it's a key to our existence, perhaps, a key to our spiritual evolution as we go to these, again, into the new age of light, is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, the messages from the crop circles have been speaking much to our own divinity, our own creation, and the whole information about how the universe is created. Mm-hmm. You know, so much sacred geometry has come through in the formations, and I've learned, and I now teach sacred geometry because I learned it through the crop circles.
Mm-hmm. Also, humans, at least from our paradigm here, is we constantly seek meaning and symbolism. And sometimes we often forget as children, some things are just fun as it is, and there doesn't have to be meaning to it. So I'm wondering if that's the case also,
just to enjoy the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
as a divinity, as a God force, you know, God has humor. So some things maybe cannot be explained or need to be explained. They just are to be enjoyed. And so
clearly, you can have an attitude of anything if you choose. I mean, you know, like I say, I, as a metaphysician, look at these from that standpoint, and others, maybe physicists, are much more interested in, okay, the dynamics of, okay, maybe this is the blueprint for a machine, for instance, you know. Yeah, you can just play with it. I mean, and often when I would go in the formations, I would just enjoy the happy energy. And I sometimes would just crawl and roll on the ground, you know, it would be just bringing me into my childness.
And I have some questions on some of the crop circles, the ones that rather perplex me. And, of course, one of them is the Chibolton radio telescope. That's the one where it was the first image, and I call it the Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa.
What is the latest news about that? What is the latest discussion on whose face is it? Because it was the actual face that was manifested. And, of course, these are huge things, so it could be over hundreds of feet or even full football fields wide.
Yeah. Well, we many of us thought it was a business card. of the ETs, their calling card, in other words, and you know, it's
so
this
humorous.
Wonderful grid kind of that camouflages the face a bit, and many thought, well, okay, that could be our own face where the veil is starting to lift and we're starting to see more clearly, you know, a bigger universe.
Well, I know this kind of is a joking kind of comment, but I was thinking about, like, the sun-maid woman, like, or not sun-maid, or, yeah, sun-maid Betty Crocker, as well as Lando Lake's butter, like the Indian woman. These are all very generic women that can be Hispanic. Usually they're Hispanic because they can be white or black. I'm thinking about a woman that can represent all of humanity. And you think of like
universal.
Yeah, exactly. Like even the Statue of Liberty. What race is that person? So I was thinking, oh, maybe it's a generic human woman.
Well, and again, right nearby in the same field was this wonderful image that looked like the Arecibo Observatory's message that we sent up in 1974. Which was we sent out into space to M13 to let the beings out there know that we existed, and that this is how we're made up with our chemistry and all sorts of information about mankind. And then we get this response that looks similar to it but has a different take on it, in that it's silicon based instead of carbon based.
What's silicon based?
When this formation was deciphered by scientists, of course I hadn't a clue, but you know, that message that we sent up was all done in binary code. But you could see this picture, and they were able to transcribe it, and instead of what we said in our message was that we're carbon based. And what they sent in the crop circle formation was that they're silicon-based and have a triple helix or something a little bit different there. So it was very fascinating, that the whole, okay, are they trying to let us know who they are, or that what we're becoming? Maybe that's the message of our evolution.
What is the average size of these crop circles? Are they at least 3 football fields wide? At least, right?
Well, some of them. You know,
what's the average size?
300 feet is pretty much the average. You know, it depends. It would depend. They obviously increased in size dramatically. In 1991, we had profound shifts that year. From just circle formations to the first fractal that we ever had, which was a Mandelbrot set fractal, looked kind of like an exploding heart.
Oh, by the way, this is on the website heartlinkinstitute.com. If you're listening and you want to look at these pictures,
by all means.
Okay, so the Mandelbrot set.
And that was the first year that we started thinking in terms of, okay, well, fractals, in other words, operate, fractal geometry is, again, another form of the creation codes that we've been getting. And fractal geometry is, you get smaller and smaller designs of the large picture as it increases, it goes into infinity, in other words, these smaller designs. And you get, depending on the mathematical set that you're using to formulate the design, you get different shapes. And
yeah, but the basic is the Fibonacci series, which is what you're talking about. That's
yeah,
the
obviously, this, all this is connected, yeah. And it's speaking, again, to, well, the Fibonacci is speaking to mankind. And the golden mean, though, which is a little bit different because it starts differently, starts from actually infinity, is speaking to God, the God formula. So as we learn, the Fibonacci then shifts into the golden mean. It becomes, we become like gods is the whole message there.
Mm-hmm. We can compare the different crop circles. There's one that I'm seeing right now that I haven't seen, and it's the West Kennet Long Barrow. And this looks like a perspective.
You're going to have to say which year, because we've had so many.
Oh, what year? This one? Oh, this is this year, 2007.
Ah, okay.
It's the one. And I've never seen that one before. To me, it looks like it looks like a hallway, a perspective of a hallway.
Yes, and many just said, okay, that's, again, speaking. Well, there are so many ways of interpreting that, too.
Absolutely. And you know what I was thinking of is, I don't know where I got it from when I was looking at it. I thought to myself, what happens if these crop circles manifest as a floor plan? It's a floor plan of the ideal church, because another name for these crop circles is outdoor temples.
Yeah.
And I thought, imagine if the crop circle...
Temporary temple.
Yeah, manifested as a floor plan. Has there been anything like that, similar?
Well, I think there, you know, floor plans, temples use sacred geometry. The whole point is that we are learning that we are the temple, and that we learn that we are these... incredible creators, and the whole creation geometry codes are within us. But that's why they're showing us in this wonderful format these blueprints for our divinity codes. And so, yeah, they're all geometries that can be used. And of course, the wonderful Metatron's cube is used over and over again in the fields. And now this is just another form of that, and when you spin the cube, you can literally, it becomes like an hourglass, and it's kind of speaking to what's going on right now as mm-hmm. we are approaching zero point, so to speak, in the great shift.
Okay.
And at that point, and supposedly they're saying 2012 is when the great shift is going to occur.
Yeah, let's talk about that after this break. Mm-hmm. I am here with Carrie O'Quinley. And she is has a master's degree in psychology and is a board-certified hypnotherapist. She's author of the Crop Circle Cards. I am Emmy Louie. You are listening to the Emmy Louie Show, and we will be back. I'm Emmy Louie, and we are talking about crop circles. And the perennial question that we have about crop circles is it real? Why is it here, and what does it do? And if we can answer those questions, we've basically answered those questions for our own lives. So it's a metaphor in a lot of ways for our own lives. So when we were talking with Carrie O'Quinley, and we were talking about the 0 degree of the great shift. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 0 point.
Mm-hmm. 0 point. So tell me about that.
Well, many believe that these are very special times, according to the Mayans and the Hopis, and so many indigenous traditions have been speaking to a point, and maybe the 2012 point. You know, again, I think it can happen any moment in your life if you wish to make the shift. And the shift means that you pretty much, by that point, have dismantled everything you ever were trained or programmed to believe. And that's a tough one. I mean, that's why I have a lot of people coming to see me to help them through the process of deprogramming.
You know what I also realized about all of this stuff, whatever stuff we're talking about, whether it's sacred geometry, crop circles, feng shui, spiritual enlightenment, is that every individual has to come to this awakening, whatever you want to call it, at their own level.
Yes.
And no matter what, we can't, or none of us can accelerate somebody else's enlightenment. It's totally free choice.
Well, yeah, and that's why, you know, you can't force somebody to go to a counselor and really make that work. The person has to want to change. I mean, that's the whole point. And when someone comes to and says, I want to change, I can help and facilitate that change. And that's what my training is all about.
I know,
but
and then even in my
within the person to want it to change.
And in my consultation, and it doesn't mean change is meaning that, oh, you know, whatever we are, we're bad. And we
no, it's
change.
About improving. It's,
yeah,
it, you know,
and in a lot of ways, repent is really the word, I think the word repent means is just a change in thought. And
yeah.
That's why you said earlier that you said it's just a very, can be instantaneously. It can be like from now, right now to the next moment. And so all of these things, they have to arrive through all of these conclusions on their own. So
many, though, are shut down to the possibility that they have choice at this juncture in their lives. I mean, and so many feel like they're on a treadmill, and that is an issue, and certainly the establishment tries to keep them there.
Well, I think that the secret really kind of opened a lot of doors, especially when it was on Oprah Winfrey. Any thoughts about that whole movement?
Oh, I think it's a movement that it's time. But, you know, all the metaphysicians I know have been teaching that for over 25 years, so it's nothing new for us. But it is, it's saying a lot when it comes to national TV. That's the point, I think, of the fact that people in their consciousness are ready to hear.
I know, and I see even the secret at the Chamber of Commerce. I swear I heard this on the radio. It said something kind of Chamber of Commerce meeting, and it's going to be a meeting on the secret. And I thought to myself, this is neat.
Mm-hmm.
This is neat. It's not that far away. It really is not.
Well, again, when we reach a critical mass, then everybody kind of just joins in, and it feels natural. It's almost like, you know, we've been doing it all along kind of thing. You know, so many of what's been happening is the 101 monkey theory where you know, someone shifts in consciousness and gets a gleam of enlightenment, and the rest come along, and that's kind of the way it works. It's just entrainment to mm-hmm. this new frequency and information that mm-hmm. many already have pioneered,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest get it.
So what is your favorite, going back to the crop circles, what is your favorite crop circle?
Oh, good question.
Because mine is the one that, of course, I know that there has been a few crop circles that has emerged across from Stonehenge. And I think, is it usually just one crop circle every year across
yeah,
Stonehenge?
Yeah.
And there was the one, it was the one that you mentioned earlier,
the
actually.
The Julia Set fractal.
Yeah, the Julia Set is actually my favorite.
Yeah, it's a spiral that is so incredible.
Yeah.
And I think that's a favorite for many of us. I have so many, actually. One that I appreciate is what I call the hypersphere in my deck of cards. And it's the one that happened in 1997. It's 12 rings that are creating like a tube torus shape, and there's a center circle. It's a hyperdimensional looking design. In fact, when we stood in it, I have a picture now of two of us, myself and another heartlinker. We were standing and had this ball of light shows up in the film, just above our heads. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of makes it very special to me.
You're talking about the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, this is a rings.
What is the name of it?
It's called, well, I call it the hypersphere in my deck of cards.
Okay, that's fine.
Can you find that?
No, I can't see it. But tell me about your deck of cards.
Oh, well, it's definitely an empowering deck. If you use these 64 cards, they are, as I say, the vibrations come through just by meditating on the formations.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do use like a multi-card spread, like three cards is all you need, but you can go all the way up to 22 cards if you want,
mm-hmm.
And create a sentence literally by the words are on the card, so I've kind of given you a hint as to the energies of the mm-hmm. that card shape.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are joined together, they like interrelate. So there's definitely a language that comes out of the cards themselves.
Well, obviously 64 is a sacred number. How did you arrive to 64 cards?
Yeah, well, the I Ching. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. how can you go wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I'm very much into codes like that. And mm-hmm. I think that, the crop circles are speaking to the shift in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, as we awaken. I use that number.
Mm-hmm.
And much of the card's information, I use traditional information from tarot with the first 22 cards, which would be the major arcana,
mm-hmm.
major wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the rest, they're definitely cosmic archetypes, new to the planet, actually. So,
mm-hmm.
So we're using the old information from the tarot as well as new information.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Tell me about your classes.
Well, they are every Wednesday night. I have on my website, heartlinkinstitute.com, you can join their esoteric studies and along with psychology, because that's my background. And so I teach astrology and then one class, and then I'll teach transpersonal psychology the next class. And I am giving the information that I have gleaned over the 25 years that I've been doing this and put it together to then certify people to become HeartLink practitioners. And so they can do what I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely time because, again, more and more people are going to need help as they go through this awakening process to just stabilize and to be able to handle the new frequencies. And that's what the HeartLink practitioner can do.
Mm-hmm.
They'll help. First, they'll help themselves, and they learn, they get the training, and then they'll be able to help others as well.
And then you also have a radio show, which is on this program, PBS.
On BBS Radio.
Thank
God for BBS. What can I say? I think it's one of the most profound talk shows on the Internet, on the waves of the our consciousness. And we get to communicate vital information globally. And so my show is Wednesdays at 4 p.m., that's Pacific time. And again, I'm coming up, I will be speaking to one of my dear friends, who's another crop circle expert, Barbara Lamb. She's next Wednesday. And I have a great lineup of guests. I'm excited. You know what? I don't know about you, Emmy. I just feel I have learned so much by doing these radio shows.
I have learned a lot, too. And I never, when I first did radio, internet radio, I thought that, of course, I would do the radio show and I would learn how to talk properly and communicate. But I didn't realize the side effects, the good side effects mm-hmm. of hosting a radio show. And
yeah.
One of the things is that you're getting the information real time, meaning, of course, whatever time is, but real time meaning that you're the person who is conducting the information, literally conducting like a piece of metal,
like,
and that it has to go through you. And that's really neat because you're, in other words, you can't stand on the sidelines and just listen. You're actively gleaning the information as well as contributing to the information. And then I realized that you get a lot of contacts through talking to people that you would normally not have if you didn't have a radio show.
Well, and things come your way that obviously that you're magnetizing to you, too, and your consciousness is raising, and you're bringing the information you need for that. Yeah.
Are there other things that you thought about that you didn't think that would happen when you started the radio show?
Well, I'm getting healthier because, you know, I have information, again, that I was needing apparently about my health and using new technologies that I've gotten from these wonderful, incredible experts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are here with Carrie O'Quinley. We will be talking about some of the trips she conducts about crop circles, and we'll talk about that next. I am Emmy Louie, and we will be back. I am Emmy Louie, and you can visit my website at www.emyloue.com to access free archives of these shows. I've been doing this for about a year, and I'm really enjoying it, and love for you to listen to all the other shows. We are here with Carrie O'Quinley, and we're talking about crop circles. And during the break, we were talking about crop circle cards, and I wanted to read this from her website. It says, "This is the genuine number one and only crop circle oracle. Through the use of the crop circle designs that have mysteriously appeared in the fields of England, this oracle facilitates self-awareness and a connection to your own wisdom." So tell me about it, Carrie O, regarding the cards and how you would use it around the house.
Well, a good question, because I have been using feng shui, and I know that's the topic of your show. So when you consider the bagua and the eight different points on that, you might want to take eight of the crop circle cards, whichever ones that seem to be appropriate for that specific point in the room, and just surreptitiously put that in that corner and see what energies that can bring in and magnetize to you. I have in the wealth and prosperity corner, I have my abundance card, so which is designed, it's a beautiful, it's called the Egg of Life design, and it's a powerful energy. So that's kind of how I, and you know what, how that happened, that was like accidental, because I had cards kind of hanging out all over my place, because, you know, I had been trying to get them sorted and so forth when I was doing the original packing of the cards. And I found that I had placed subconscious, on the unconscious mind, I was putting cards in different areas of my room, the different rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And just realized that one day, looking at, oh, there's a card, I missed that one, I better gather that up. And then I said, no, that's supposed to be there, I should leave that there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting how they work. Also, they're healing for the chakra system. So you can lay them on the different chakras on the body and just take in those energies that way.
Mm-hmm.
So there are numerous ways you can activate your water just by putting a card, specific card. If you're looking for strength or courage that day, then put that card on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me about your trips to England, because I'm interested in this.
Well, they're wonderful. I call them sacred pilgrimages. And basically, when you take a sacred pilgrimage, you're looking to connect to the nature of the land and connect to your higher self. And we go to different points, and the first journey will be just treasure hunting for crop circles.
Tell me, when is your next trip, and when will it start? Or
it
you haven't
starts,
planned it that far yet?
Yeah, it's in July, and usually it's at the end of July. It starts on the 19th next year.
Mm-hmm. And why 19th?
The 19th, for the first 3 days, we'll just hunt for crop circles.
Why the 19th, though? Is it like this?
Well, it just happened that way. It wasn't
okay.
Like...
okay,
although
I don't know
there's
if you,
always,
like,
you know,
third whatever date of July or something.
Yeah, it works out because it happens on the weekend prior to the main journey that starts on Tuesday the next week, and then we go throughout all of southwestern England
mm-hmm.
on the main journey.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the first part of the journey, like I say, is just in Wiltshire County, which is Wiltshire Borough, which is the same as county,
mm-hmm.
and it's just specific to that crop circle hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when does it end? July 19th to when? When is your tour?
That ends on the 22nd. Then the main tour begins on the 22nd, where we go to Glastonbury.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to be speaking at the symposium this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's where we hear all these wonderful presenters
mm-hmm.
Who are experts in crop circles. And I've spoken there before. It's called the Glastonbury International Crop Circle Symposium.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll spend a week on that journey. We'll go to Tintagel, we'll see Merlin's Cave and the castle. And then the next part of the journey will be Ireland, and we'll spend 4 days, and then we'll go to Scotland for 4 days.
Mm-hmm. So the Glastonbury part is from the 22nd to the 29th of July in 2008,
correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where you get...
So how big are your tours? Just tell me all about it.
Yeah, I want to keep them small enough
uh-huh.
that we are able to just journey in one van. We take one van.
Mm-hmm.
So five people besides myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I recommend you get in early. I already have two people signed
mm-hmm.
up. We start signing up very early.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reservations have to be made early.
Mm-hmm. And where do you stay at?
And we stay in, like I say, Wiltshire.
I mean, what kind of places? Is it like small inns or?
Yeah, they're small inns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. So the place to be, it sounds like, is Glastonbury, that conference at the end of around July 20th.
Yes, yeah. The place to be. Because, you know, so many of us gather and after having seen the formations thus far. And by that time, you've seen a number of them. Even though the season doesn't really end until September.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Well, usually the end of August.
Mm-hmm. So, good for you. And... so, okay, that's fine. That sounds good. And all this information is on your website, I presume?
Yes, yeah.
Where is that for your travel?
It's on the menu on the left.
There it is. Okay,
yeah.
I got it. Got it.
I try to make it simple. I have all sorts of online classes, and I try to keep it easy to find these things.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, you know,
we got a few more minutes.
I think so many of us are so grateful that we even found out about the crop circles. At this time in the Kali Yuga, where, you know, it's pretty dense right now on the planet. We're in the Iron Age, so-called, the last cycle of the Kali Yuga, of the Yuga cycles, which is called the Kali Yuga, the
mm-hmm.
darkest.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go into the new golden age, and the second we can do that. So I'm looking forward to having that shift.
Do you do meditations or anything like that?
I do, yeah.
You do. You want to do something for the next 4 minutes?
I would love to.
Or that's too short?
Well, It's never too short.
Yes, just 3 minutes. Why don't we do a little prayer or meditation?
Let's just take a deep breath. And the breath of life, and breathe from the diaphragm. That's the best way to breathe. And because that activates the solar plexus, those nerve endings that allow the chi to come into your body. Just breathe easily and freely from that diaphragm. And know that the universe is providing for you, bringing in the new energies that you need to make this transformational shift. You might even see a beautiful, clear light coming in through the top of your head as the source energy comes in. And as it moves gently down your system, you may see things light up in your body. Your bodies allowing for these healing vibrations. Council of Light is helping to transduce this new information, bringing it in as you can be this wonderful conduit of love and peace. Just allow that wonderful energy to flow all the way now down, down, down. Through your entire body and out your feet, now filling your entire aura. And continue to breathe that throughout your day, that wonderful energy of love and light.
Thank you very much, Carrie L.
Wonderful.
Quinley. I am Emmy Louie. You're listening to The Emmy Louie Show, and see you next time. Namaste.